This is episode 45 of the IDRA Class Notes Podcast.
But it is not enough to stop with a high school diploma. You have to have children from the moment they enter a school in pre-K, the moment they enter that classroom, everyone in that classroom, all of the adults, are totally committed and dedicated to making sure that child reaches his or her potential and becomes the doctor of the future or the lawyer of the future.
Welcome to the IDRA's Class Notes Podcast. I'm Aurelio Montemayor. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We'd love to hear your comments about this show. There'll be details at the end of this podcast on how to contact us. If you like our show, would you please tell three others or leave a review for us on iTunes? That helps others find us. We've set up an email alert to let you know when a new episode of Class Notes is available. If you're not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you stay up to date. Just go to our website to sign up, www.idra.org. Don't forget to sign up for our free monthly Graduation for All electronic newsletters. Again, you can sign up at our website. Today, our topic is What Students Need Their School Counselors to Hear with Josie Danini-Cortez. Josie Cortez is an expert and highly experienced researcher who continues to lead many of IDRA's key research efforts, including a national research study of exemplary bilingual education programs. Josie is a medical anthropologist and has been an adjunct faculty member of the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio's School of Medicine for 25 years. She received her bachelor's degree in anthropology from the University of Notre Dame. She received her master's degree in medical anthropology from Case Western Reserve University. Hi, Josie.
Hi, Aurelio.
First of all, before we get into the specifics of the report, we need some context and a backdrop. How was it looking at counselors in college? I mean, what was the broader context?
The backdrop for this, Aurelio, was IDRA's recent work in two areas. One was our interaction work, which was funded by the Houston Endowment, to look at how the state of Texas in particular could create a K-20 reality for all students. And this was very much in line with IDRA's mission to create schools that work for all children. And it was also very much in line with our premise that all children are valuable and none is expendable.
Josie, on it. K-20 reality.
K-20 reality.
Meaning from kindergarten to?
To the postdoctoral.
Okay.
So that it is not enough to stop with a high school diploma. You have to have children from the moment they enter a school in pre-K, the moment they enter that classroom, everyone in that classroom, all of the adults, are totally committed and dedicated to making sure that child reaches his or her potential and becomes the doctor of the future or the lawyer of the future or the teacher of the future. What interaction did was helped crystallize some opportunities for reform, as IDRA called them. There were seven areas that we felt and knew actually needed reform. One was preparing students. The other was college access, institutional persistence, or what is it that the institutions of higher education need to do to make sure that students do make it all the way through and beyond. Affordability, institutional resources, graduation, and of course, graduate and professional studies, which is the 20 part.
20.
There's a great deal of information, and I won't spend a whole lot of time right now talking about what we found from that. You can go to our link at www.idra.org and link on interaction, and you'll get quite a bit of information on that. But what that did was give us some very clear indicators of what was needed for institutions to change the way they operate right now. and to make sure that students do succeed through high school and beyond. At the same time that we were working on the interaction study, we were also conducting a research study that San Antonio College here in San Antonio had commissioned us to do. This is a very large community college, and their president, Dr. Robert Ziegler, is a remarkable innovator and had asked IDRA to look at how could they effectively recruit and retain students in college, be they community colleges or four-year institutes of higher education. And what we did as a basis of that study, part of our methodology, was to talk to people, in addition to looking at a lot of the quantitative data and looking at best practices, what were other colleges doing, looking at what was it that parents were saying, what counselors were saying, faculty, teachers, etc. And importantly, what were students telling us? That was a critical part of student voice. And what we found was, and again, you can get the full information by going to www.idra.org and looking at San Antonio College study. What we found through focus group and individual interviews was that there were some key things that counselors in particular were telling us, and students and parents were telling us about counselors. And I'm focusing in this particular conversation on counselors because, granted, everyone plays a critical role mm-hmm. in ensuring student success. Counselors in particular have a tremendous role in making a difference for kids. And it's important that they are reminded. Counselors are often overwhelmed. We heard that a lot from them in terms of the, you know, the paperwork and the testing and a lot of the things that they have to do. And they often don't know if the student who walks into their office, they don't know what happens to them afterwards and if they made a difference. And they need to know that they, of most people, can make the difference more than anybody else. What they tell that student makes a difference. And I was reminded of this as I was looking at the data. Some time ago, we did the Dallas Dropout Study, IDRA did, back, it seems like a really long time ago, it is, back in the 80s. But one of the things that we found out that made a huge difference for students to stay in school was that one person, one adult, cared about them, that they knew that. They knew that someone was there to make sure they made it. And
that person had the big picture. They were looking at the total student and caring about the student, yes.
Absolutely. And it could be the counselor, it could be the teacher, it could be the principal.
In some cases, it was the janitor, you know?
But
it was
somebody they cared about mm-hmm. and cared whether they went to school that day or mm-hmm. not. That's a lot yes. what forms the basis of our Cocoa Valley Youth right. program, that people, young people do feel valued and valuable. This is true with counselors. They can make students feel valued and valuable. And when they do that and they see them succeed, they know that they matter, that they are valuable. And counselors oftentimes will, you know, when we ask them for success stories, they'll point to that, you know, that student. They won't talk about the number of tests that they managed to get done. They will talk about that individual student who, despite all odds, what we at IDRA do is we try to change the odds. Usually you hear the stories about against all odds, he or she succeeded. Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to change that formula in schools. There shouldn't be against all odds or in spite of things. It should be that everyone makes it and that there are people there who are dedicated to doing that and they need some tools. So that's why our research is very quickly translated into application.
So if I would be the voice of, let's say, the students that you interviewed, mm-hmm. going a few steps below the global one, that I need at least one adult in this setting to know about me and care about me, mm-hmm. counselor or otherwise, what are like three things I need you to hear? You're my counselor. I need you to know that I need these things, or these are your things I want you to listen to.
When we ask students what do you need more than anything in knowing about going to college and selecting a college? And what they came up with was, I need to make sure that what I want to do in life matches the college. They're very pragmatic. They, more than anybody, I think, is thinking about college as a means to an end. Mm-hmm. So after 4 years at this college, well, what do I do in June? How is this going to help me get a better job?
But my freshman year is generic no matter where I go.
And counselors need to make sure that students know that, first of all, to articulate their goals, their dreams. And if someone wants to be an artist, or if someone wants to be a musician, or if someone wants to be a mathematician, that the counselor has enough information to already be matching that student with some colleges in mind. That's one thing. The other is access and transportation. Students need ways to get to and from college because most of them are commuters. A lot of our kids who are low income and minority need to, a lot of times, live at home and take care of their siblings, or they're working a job as well as going to college. Something as simple as parking places. You know, some kids are picking some colleges because they have greater access to parking, and it doesn't cost so much to park. Simple things like that you don't think about, but that's something that a counselor needs to be thinking about, the whole package of how does this student, how will they get to college, and are they going to live there, and what are the implications of financial? Online access was another thing that students were telling us. They'd rather be online than in line, bottom line. However, they need to have access to computers. And the computers need to be operational, and it can't take them 2 hours to fill out a form. They don't have 2 hours. They may be working, usually are. Those are like the top things that kids were telling us. What superseded everything was the financial aspect. How am I going to pay for it? And students, our students, Hispanic students who are often first time in college, FTICs, don't want to go into debt. So they look for scholarships. They'll look for work-study programs. So having counselors have that information available for them so that they can go into a work-study program, preferably the type of work that matches their goal, what they'd like to do as a career. The other thing that's, I think, really important for counselors to not only know but communicate to IHEs is the reality that many of our students, of minority students and low-income students who do get into college, do so, in spite of all odds, do so with many things already working against them in terms of the financial aspect, where they do have to work, and figuring out ways, together with the private sector and with colleges, to make sure that the work supports the student rather than becomes a barrier. Mm-hmm. We learned, for instance, from the Dallas Dropout Study that a student who works more than 20 hours a week mm-hmm. in high school will have difficulties with academics. Mm-hmm. 20 hours a week is pretty much the maximum. Well, the same thing happens in college. And students who have to work to pay for college have some extraordinary skills in trying to get everything done. I remember speaking to some IHE folks who were complaining about their students' time management skills, that what they needed was time management classes. And in fact, many orientation classes mm-hmm. work on time management. And I remember a parent telling me that their son went to work at 4 in the morning, got off from work at 3:45 p.m., got home, took a bath, left at 5 p.m. to go to school, and then got home at 9:45. And then had to get up back at 4 in the morning. Now, mm-hmm. when they were going to study between 9:45 and 4 a.m., making some time for maybe a couple hours sleep, is what a lot of our kids are dealing with. Mm-hmm. The amount of commitment and dedication that that student has mm-hmm. to do that is extraordinary. And should be recognized, but more than recognized, They shouldn't have to do that. And by the way, parents support their kids tremendously in going to college. There is, I think, this myth that somehow parents don't want their kids to go to college. Quite the opposite. They know that that's their ticket out, mm-hmm. that parents, as part of this study and others, when interviewed, will tell us, we know that, and we tell our kids, the only thing that can't take away from you is your education.
Yes.
And we had one high school student tell us, my parents made me choose. Do you want to be flipping burgers or someone that sits in an office?
Mm-hmm.
That's your choice. And that's what college means for you. You can sit in an office instead of the other.
I mean, it's almost a broken record. Educate para que no sufres lo que sufrí yo. Get an education so that you don't suffer what I've
Exactamente.
Gone through. And you hear it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Chelsea, because these are very practical and pragmatic things, you mentioned, for example, the fear of the debt load. Most of our families are hanging on by their fingernails economically, and they know that a debt load, sometimes you hear it almost said easily, well, you know, once you get your degree, you've got 10 years to pay it back, it's low interest, stuff like that. But when you graduate from college owing $30,000,
$40,000,
sure. there is a reality, an economic reality out there, and given mm-hmm. the times right now, mm-hmm. it is a serious concern. And what bothers me is that we tend to castigate parents for echoing that concern. It is a right. serious concern.
Right. It is a huge concern. And I think, you know, advising students that it's going to be worth it in the end, yes, that kind of investment is worth mm-hmm. it. But what if, for instance, colleges that have recently been in the news, the Ivy Leagues have been mm-hmm. the forerunners, what if colleges, in fact, offered students whose family earned less than $45,000 or $30,000 a year, mm-hmm. free tuition. Because that is the university investing in those students mm-hmm. who will be our future citizens.
Exactly.
That's the type of investment and burden, I think, that needs to occur, of universities seeing the huge investment in all of our students succeeding. The other paradigm is, well, you just figure it out. And you just incur $60,000, $80,000 worth of debt and then pay it off at the end. In the current financial and economic situation, you know, we've got some mm-hmm. serious issues mm-hmm. as a nation. I think the investment that we are talking about, the students are already putting their, mm-hmm. you know, putting their lives in this. The parents are supporting them as best they can. And universities, I think, need to step up and also meet them, not just open the door, but welcome them in and provide mm-hmm. the support and the resources that are needed. So they are both in partnership around this.
Well, there are broader policy issues that are certainly having to do with our community's commitment to educating our population. I mean, we have K-12 free mm-hmm. education, and there are serious issues there. We have to consider investing in higher education for a lot of the population.
And I think also, Aurelio, the role that the private sector plays is going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
There was one college student who told us he had recently gotten laid off from his job, and they told him it was because he was in school. He was in college. They said they needed someone to work 40 hours a week. He was working 30 and struggling, but mm-hmm. staying in school and working 30 hours. If you have a business that says, you know, I got to get 40 hours from you or not, you got to go find another job, that's also important that the private sector recognize the investment they are making in students in supporting kids.
You know, there's a parallel issue in parent involvement, and, you know, that's of great interest to all of us, getting the private sector to give parents time to go meet with their children's teacher during the work hours. Those are issues where I think the private sector is going to have to realize the broader investment that has to be made mm-hmm. just to have a healthy society. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to open up the question, but you don't have to answer it, but was there an issue in terms of students taking remedial or non-developmental courses, not for credit, and especially if it's hard enough for me to pay the tuition or figure it out? And I mean, that there's a counselor issue there, too. Maybe that should be another conversation.
I think it's a long, extended conversation. Yeah, but yes, of course, there's a huge issue, and that speaks to preparation. Mm-hmm. One of those seven areas, mm-hmm. Opportunities of reform that we talked about, of how well-prepared students are to succeed in college. And one of the disconnects that we found, along with others who have been looking at this issue, one of the huge disconnects is between high school and college. And there's some efforts within the state, K-16 alignment efforts that are achieving the dream efforts, that are trying to mm-hmm. bridge that gap. It remains a huge disconnect, so that counselors that we talked to, for instance, had very little information about some of the colleges that are even local. One of the things that I think these studies help is to make transparent what is missing.
Okay.
And the misconceptions or the assumptions that people have. There are very good, committed, dedicated people on really both sides mm-hmm. of the fence at this point, of the road, actually. The IHE folks who believe that the counselors and others in K-12 need to prepare kids mm-hmm. more and better. And there are folks in K-12 who are saying, well, we don't have enough information mm-hmm. from the IHEs on what is expected. Mm-hmm. So this alignment issue, it's a big issue and one that I think the state is trying to tackle. Right now there's a huge disconnect in something as simple as what is it that kids are going to be needing that first year, especially if they're first-timers in college, mm-hmm. that first year in college to succeed. And counselors who aren't aware of the system, even the financial aid system, which as we looked at IHEs and looking at their financial aid system, there's a huge disconnect even within mm-hmm. the institution of higher education between financial aid and the rest of certainly the support systems as well as the academic area. Yes, to answer your question yeah. very briefly, there's a lot to be done in terms
of... So, you know, there's a lot of questions that students have. Families and students do want to go to college. Counselors need to have more information. What would you leave as the phrase, the idea?
The one I started with really was that all children are valuable. All students, all young people are valuable, that none is expendable. It is at the core of everything that we do. And I found in the research that we do, it is very much at the core of a lot of the people that we work with, be they teachers, counselors, parents. They do value kids very much. And what gets in the way, I think, of wanting to do right by them is a lot of this other stuff. And the stuff that we're talking about in terms of misconceptions, mm-hmm. of assumptions, of misalignment, miscommunication, and not having the right tools and the resources, which is where IDRA comes in. Not only do we try to provide important information and build knowledge around these areas, but we're also about creating solutions and coming up with tools and resources that will make a difference for people who are very much committed to making sure that all kids succeed.
Great. Thank you, Josie.
Thank you, Aurelio.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.